Morning, everyone. So last week in my homily, I explained that Advent is a fundamental time of preparation. All right, and yes, when we think about Advent, when we think about those weeks leading up to Christmas, of course we're thinking about preparing. But the question is, are we preparing for the right thing? You know, is our focus solely on making sure that we get the gifts under the tree, that we get the food ready? Or rather, is it something more than that? Because the reality is that this Advent season, it's meant to be a time of spiritual preparation. And yes, I understand all those small details, all those things, as important as they may seem to be. If we aren't careful, if we don't make sure that we're using Advent as a time of spiritual preparation, it can be so easy for us to miss the forest for the trees, right? That we spend so much time focusing on these small details that we forget the fact that God became man, that we forget the reason why we celebrate Christmas itself. And so today, I think the church, as we begin this second full week of Advent, the church now guides us into what type of spiritual preparation we should be making. And in fact, this week and next week, St. John the Baptist will become the character who takes center stage in the gospel. St. John the Baptist being that last prophet, that bridge that helped to guide the Old Testament into the New. He was the one who prepared those Israelites. And remember, the Israelites, from the time of Adam all the way to the coming of Christ, they were in that perpetual season of Advent, waiting for the Messiah to come. And so now it's John who has the specific task of being that bridge that prepares the Israelite people for the coming of Christ on Christmas. And so this week and next will allow John to take center stage. And I believe that he will help us to really ask if we're making the true spiritual preparation that's necessary for us to celebrate Christmas in just a few short weeks. And so what is it that John tells us today? Well, we hear that John, that he's out in the Jordan, he's out into the desert, and that he's preaching repentance. His job to prepare the way of the Lord, to prepare the Israelite people, was preaching repentance. And you see, the word repentance, when we look at the original Greek of the word, right, it means metanoia. And metanoia, when we truly understand what it means a changing of the way that we encounter and see the world. Namely, he was preparing the Israelite people for a revolutionary change. And in fact, St. Luke today, he begins to highlight this because it's interesting. The way that St. Luke begins this reading that we have today. Because what he's doing is he's laying out all of the political, even the religious authorities, the big names. I mean, in a certain sense, Luke really is name dropping here in these opening verses. And really what you'd see in a lot of these stories, to kind of give a historical perspective, they'll lay out who the large political figures are. But the reason why John is doing this, and you know, in a certain sense, he's doing this tongue-in-cheek too. Because what he's saying is, he says, as important as you think all of these people really are, what I'm telling you is I'm coming to preach this repentance. I'm preaching that all of these important figures, the one that I am preparing you for, the one that I am a bridge for, these people that I just listed off, they can't hold a candle to the guy that I'm about to tell you about. So Luke, he's setting this up. He's setting us up to tell us that what's coming truly is revolutionary. And that in order for us to truly understand that, we need to engage in this metanoia. We need to engage in this fundamental changing of the way that we see the world. Because again, what St. Luke is saying in this gospel is he's saying that, you know, when these people speak, when Caiaphas the high priest, when Pontius Pilate, when Caesar is speaking, we listen up, right? We automatically think that what they're saying is of the utmost importance. But in reality, what I'm telling you is the one who's coming, he's that much more important. And in fact, now for us to receive him, we have to live this life of repentance. We have to make changes in our life. And the only way that we can do that, right, is by first changing the way that we see the world. By understanding that Jesus Christ, he's not just another wise man. He's not just another prophet. He's not just another teacher. But in fact, he is the truth itself. Encapsulated in his very person is this revolutionary idea that will change the entire course of history. And so, Luke, he's setting this up. He's telling us that what's happening isn't just some other ordinary event in history. But in fact, that this is the one event. This is the one event that will fundamentally change everything. And so we hear how St. John the Baptist, how this bridge between the Old Testament and the New, right, preparing the Israelite people for the end of the Advent and for the coming of the Messiah, of Jesus Christ. He tells them how they are to prepare. Right? We hear that he says, make straight the paths. Level all the mountains, fill in the valleys. Make straight the paths for the one who is coming. And see, we can understand where he's going with this. Because, I mean, again, back in the day, mind you, travel was nowhere near as easy as it was today. Right? They didn't have the highway system. Even though the Romans did so much in the realm of infrastructure, it was nowhere near as easy as we have today. And so what you would see is any time an important person was going to visit, they would send people out to literally clear the path, to make straight the path, to make sure that there was nothing that would prevent them from showing up late, or there were no barriers that would stop them. Because in all likelihood, like when we hear the story of the Good Samaritan, in all likelihood, what would happen is that you would have thieves who would set up blockades that would stop the convoy, so that when that happened, they could come and they could ambush the people. And so what St. John the Baptist is saying is he's saying that we are meant to clear any obstacle that could prevent Christ from coming into us, from coming into our souls. And so when he says, make straight the path, and not only that too, when he talks about filling in those valleys, leveling those mountains, I think he gives us a good point of reference, a good thing for us to reflect upon as we make these preparations for the Christmas season. Right? Because what is a valley, right? You know, a valley is a low point. And so I think one way that we can think about that is, where are the valleys in our lives? Right? Where are the holes in our lives that, frankly, we need to fill in if we want to make sure that our Lord has a clear path to us? In other words, where is there an aspect of our life where we're not doing something that we know we ought to? What is something that we can add into our life here throughout the course of these next 2 weeks leading up to Christmas that will help prepare the way? But then on the flip side of that too, when he talks about leveling those mountains, essentially what he's asking us on a very personal spiritual level is, where do we have obstacles in our life? Where are we overlooking a habit, a vice, whatever it may be? Where is there something in our life that we know we need to root out, but we're choosing not to? I think that if we can truly focus on those two things, and if we can do it intentionally, I said this last week in my homily. You know, anytime we think about waiting, there's two ways that we can wait. We can wait passively or we can wait actively. And what the church is telling us in Advent, it's not just counting down the days, maybe opening up those little doors on our Advent calendar and eating a little piece of chocolate and then moving on. No, that's not the type of waiting that the church talks about when it comes to Advent. But rather, it should be an active waiting, a joyful waiting. Something in which we intentionally are trying to prepare the way for the Lord to come into our souls. That's what I believe the church is asking us this week, and I believe that's what John the Baptist is highlighting when he tells us to prepare the way of the Lord, to prepare that path. So this week, intentionally, let us look to the example of John the Baptist. Let us ask him, where is he telling us that we need to make these spiritual preparations? Where is he saying that we need to root something out of our life? Where do we need to fill in that valley? Where is it that we need to level those mountains? What is it that we need to add? If we can focus on those two questions throughout the course of this Advent season, I promise you that we'll be able to truly celebrate the joy of the incarnation, the joy of the coming of the Christ child here in just a few short weeks. So this week, may we too, may we look to that example of John the Baptist. May we prepare ourselves. May we do that in that spirit of metanoia, understanding that all the political rulers, all of those things, they're nothing in comparison to the Christ child who is to come. Now together let us stand and profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. And by the Holy Spirit, was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried and rose again on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. God's salvation is near, glory dwelling in our land. Trusting in the Father's goodness, we turn to him with our needs. For the renewal of the church in holiness during the sacred season of Advent, we pray to the Lord. That Christ may guide the minds of those who govern so as to promote the common good according to his will. We pray to the Lord. For our parish community, that God who has begun the good work of drawing us together in faith will continue to perfect it this Advent. We pray to the Lord. That love within families will increase in knowledge of what is truly good and valuable. We pray to the Lord. For the poor, the sick, the homeless, the unemployed, the addicted, those who are ensnared in sin, the lonely, and those who mourn, that Jesus will come close to them and use us as agents of his mercy. We pray to the Lord. For the grace this week to have hope and live lives that glorify God. We pray to the Lord. Good and gracious God, we entrust you this morning with these prayers and these petitions. And we ask that you grant them if they be in accord with your most holy will. For we ask this as we do all things through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.